As I was reading the queries of the Covenant of Communicant Membership, I was reminded of a great privilege that I had yesterday. I had the privilege of reading the queries for licensure to Noah Bailey as the Presbytery of the Alleghenies certified him eligible to preach. And a trip down memory lane, he made a public profession of faith in the Geneva Reformed Presbyterian Church when he came to Geneva College. And so he's a son of the congregation. Not only that, but then he decided that he ought to ask Lydia to be his wife. And she said yes. And so that led to my having the opportunity of propounding the I do question for their wedding. And then the privilege of reading the baptismal vows for two of their children. Then the vows as a deacon. Now as one who's licensed to preach the gospel. What a delight it is to serve in the Church of Christ and see God raise up from our midst such individuals. And we want to continue to pray for the Baileys as he finishes this year and one more year of seminary and waits upon the Lord for his call. We were late this morning. We were late for a simple reason. Tim McLean usually sets up. He's preaching over in Hazleton because he's certified eligible to receive a call. Change. Change is happening. And so the question is simple. Patience, anyone? How many times have you found yourself praying for patience and wanting it now? If you're like I am, you find yourself often in that posture. Lord, grant me patience and give it to me now. This is when I need it. And one of the commentaries that I read, the commentator offered an illustration about how patience works in that regard. He told of a father's advice to his son. My dear boy, take a word of advice from an old man who loves peace. An insult is like mud. It will brush off much better when it's dry. Wait a little till he and you are both cool and the thing will be easily mended. Wait a little. If you go now, it will only be to quarrel. Lord, give me patience. And I need it now. Then there are also those times when we pray for patience. And according to the passage that we'll be looking at this morning, we begin to face all sorts of trials. Lord, I need patience. Trials, tribulations befall us. We heard a sermon by a student under care Friday, and he began by giving us an illustration. And as he went through that illustration, I thought, he's going to be preaching from James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. But he didn't. But the illustration still fits, so I thought I'd use it this morning as well. He was reminiscing about his childhood days and how he loved to climb trees. I'm sure there are a lot of us here who can identify with that. What is it that makes climbing trees so much fun? What is it about a tree that draws our attention to it? Well, trees are stately. They're magnificent. They're steadfast. They've endured various storms over the years. I think of the oak tree. Right out here in our front yard. And I think of trees in Tolkien. How they come into the battle. Trees. Bring the image to our mind of steadfastness, majesty, stateliness. So the very first psalm speaks about a tree, doesn't it? The child of God is likened unto a tree planted by streams of water. So as we consider from James, patience, anyone, let's have our minds picturing trees in their steadfastness, in their magnificence, in their stateliness. Let's look at ourselves as trees planted by streams of water. James uses the word that's translated patience or perseverance that conveys a notion of steadfastness, consistency. It's the ability to bear up under pressure and not simply be prevented from crumbling under that pressure, but moving forward in that pressure. And another image. When I was in the Boy Scouts and taking life-saving merit badge, one of the things that we were supposed to do in order to pass the test was to pull a swamped rowboat a quarter of a mile. Now, a swamped rowboat is a rowboat that has water up to its gunwales, but it's not going under. It's a rather heavy rowboat. It's not a light rowboat without any water in it. It's heavy. But once you start that boat moving, and you keep it moving, there's a steadfastness to it. And take it for what it's worth. The swimming is quite easy once it's on the move. And if you think about it, what kind of a boat would you like to have in a storm-tossed sea? A light craft that's picked up and thrown down and picked up and thrown down and finally swamped to the bottom? Or a boat with some heaviness to it? A boat with a load to it so that it stays firm in the water. That's the idea of patience here. So let's listen to what James has to say to us. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James 1, 1 through 4. Listen, the Holy Spirit is talking to us. James, a servant of God and of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Or rejoice. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let's pray. Father, you've put some images in our minds. We pray that we would not lose the intent of your word to us in those images, but that they would help us to appreciate patience, anyone, that we might grow and that we might be confirmed in our faith. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Last Lord's Day we concluded with a comment from John Calvin, and so this morning you find there at the outset of the outline a statement again from Calvin. James gives us a reason to accept what is as sweet that which is bitter. To accept as sweet that which is bitter. There are two sides to the reason given by James to accept as sweet that which is bitter. And both have to do with our faith. Does it surprise you that James is going to speak to us about our faith, given the oft-repeated idea that James is all about works? James is going to speak with us about our faith. And the first thing he's going to tell us is the virtue of patience confirms our faith. The virtue of patience confirms our faith, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, well, Pastor Bruce, it says perseverance. It doesn't say patience. Well, most of us here, I shouldn't say most. We're a congregation of younger people, too. Many of us here memorized James 1:3 in the King James, didn't we? Do you remember it? Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. The testing of your faith worketh patience. Once again, you see, we're reminded that circumstances reveal a person. Circumstances reveal a person's faith. Circumstances confirm a person's faith. And those circumstances not only confirm that faith, but we'll see in the second point, they grow that faith. But first, the virtue of patience confirms our faith. We need to appreciate that James speaks to us about how our minds are to dictate our response to the circumstances of our lives. How our minds are to respond to the circumstances of our lives. And so we need to appreciate that word there that's translated knowing. There are two Greek words for the idea to know. One has the idea of knowledge in itself. We all know there are counterfeit currencies in the marketplace. The question is, are we able to discern whether we have been handed a counterfeit bill or not? The Greek word translated knowing in this verse carries the idea of discernment. The idea of being able to distinguish whether the bill is real or counterfeit. James is telling us that we are able to discern something beneficial about the testing of our faith. Knowing this, that the testing of our faith worketh patience. So we want to look then at the word testing. Again, let's look at the illustration of the tree. You're familiar with what happens when you saw the tree down, don't you? And you look at the stump. And what do you see? You see rings on that stump. And what are we told about the rings? If we count the number of rings on that stump, we'll know how old that tree is. But there's something else that we learn from that stump and the rings. The darker the ring, remember? The darker the ring, the more severe the weather was that year of the tree's growth. The stateliness, the steadfastness, the magnificence of a tree is shown in those dark circles when the storms came with hurricane gales and the tree stood. Why? Because the roots of the tree went deep into the soil. Why is that tree in Psalm 1 flourishing and bearing its fruit in season? Because its roots are well planted by streams of water. And we know in Scripture those streams of water refer to the work of the Holy Spirit coming from the throne of Jesus Christ. And we're there well planted in the Holy Spirit as He nourishes us and gives us our lives. We're to take that picture of the tree. Jesus is the vine, isn't He? And we're engrafted into Him. As those storms of life, as those testings of life come, our faith is confirmed. And notice we saw last week what those testings entail. Those testings are the various trials, the various temptations that God ordains to come into our lives. Those bitter circumstances that when we're rooted in Jesus Christ elicit from us joy. You see, this word testing then has that idea of proving. Why do we take tests? To prove we've learned what we've been taught. It's that simple. And certainly Jesus was tested, was tempted in every point as we are to see if He was the second Adam, to see if He was the Son of God, to see if He is the one who emptied Himself and took on the form of man so that He might live in our stead. And prove that in our humanness we can keep God's word. If we stay focused on the God who gave us the word. As the second Adam, his faith was tested and proven to be genuine, so that he could go to the cross and bear the wrath of God that our sins deserve. Because we fail the tests. Oh, so often. Yet when we're in Jesus, by grace through faith, God doesn't look at us in our failings. He looks at us in Jesus. And He says, "You've passed." Why? Because when we fall into that temptation, the Holy Spirit, through the kindness of God, brings about repentance, brings about confession. We cry unto Him and we know from Him we are forgiven. We see how our faith is confirmed by the virtue of patience. When we wait upon the Lord Jesus Christ, or until the mud dries, we know our lives are hidden in Him through faith. And each time we sin, instead of muscling our way through, we confess our sin knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The virtue of patience confirms our faith. Just as the stability and stateliness of the tree is enhanced by the storms it endures. Now James is ready to tell us the virtue of patience grows our faith. The virtue of patience grows our faith. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Notice that perseverance, patience, is not stagnant. It presses forward. Patience is active. Patience has a work to do, and that work is to grow our faith. James uses three words that describe the growth of our faith and the progress that our faith has is seen as we unfold each of these three words. First of all, mature. Mature. The Greek word from which we derive our word telescope, teleos. It's generally translated perfect. The idea is to reach the goal or the end. In that sense, it has the idea of bringing someone to maturity, as in a mature character or fullness of age. And notice it takes hardships to bring about spiritual maturity. Remember, Jesus himself grew to maturity through the things he suffered. So the virtue of patience grows our faith as it moves us on to maturity, so that we will also be complete. And this Greek word is derived from the same root as the word that we know means to inherit or inheritance. To be complete in this sense is to have everything given to us for our salvation when we come to Jesus, believing Him and repenting of our sins. We are declared righteous in the Son through faith, and thereby we are no longer guilty and condemned by the thrice holy God's assessment of us. Do we want to praise God? That He who is saying, "Be perfect as I am perfect," when we come to Christ, He makes us complete in Him. He gives us everything, the righteousness of His beloved Son, so that we may stand uprightly before Him in Christ Jesus. The virtue of patience indeed grows our faith. Finally, lacking nothing. Here is the idea that there is no deficiency in us when we are united to Jesus through faith. But this has a slightly unusual twist to it. Because this idea of lacking nothing has with it the notion that we will not be left behind anyone in life's race. We will not be left behind anyone in life's race. What do I mean? I mean, we know what it is to live like the Apostle Paul lived. He knew he was in a race, and how did he run it? Well, I know there are a lot of people faster than I am. I know there are a lot of people who have worked out longer than I have. I know there are a lot of people. Is that how he ran the race? He ran the race to win the prize. The virtue of patience
that grows our faith? Has our sense of the race motivating us to win? We want to run ahead of everyone. Not be behind everyone. Lacking nothing. Jesus Christ has given us everything to go forth from faith to faith. Romans 8. Those whom He foreknew, He predestined, He called, He justified, He adopted, He glorified. When we're in Jesus, we have it all. When we're in Jesus, we are more than conquerors through Him who conquered. Patience, anyone? Patience, everyone. We're looking to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. So let us remember that without the cross and the resurrection of Jesus in the past, there would be no present, actual and appropriated salvation to enjoy. And if we have no present life of faith in Jesus, there is no future coexistence with Him through all eternity. It's not a question of may we have patience. It's a question of do we have patience? For to have patience is to have Jesus. To have Jesus is to understand how it is we find sweetness in bitterness. So I trust, as we examine ourselves this morning, to be sure that we will eat and drink in a worthy fashion. We bear in our lives the virtue of patience such that our faith is both confirmed and growing. Amen. Father, we could dwell on these two verses the rest of this day and not plumb the depths of what it means to have patience. But we thank You, our Father, for the perseverance that we enjoy, that our minds are capable of understanding, and that our lives bear evidence of. Thank You for that faith that has enabled us to lay hold of Jesus so that we have a sure anchor when the storms of life come. Thank You for trees that remind us of perseverance, of patience, of steadfastness. May we never look at a tree the same. And may we see ourselves as trees planted by streams of water. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.